Well, good morning, everybody. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, one, and go. Take every opportunity. Use your time wisely. That's what I'm doing. Hello to those of you online, Facebook. Good morning, everybody. So this is New Year, New Habits. That's the trajectory we've been on for the last month and a half. And today we're talking about serving. I think that was a great open mic. I can cut out half my sermon and we're good, right? Scratch. So I started serving in the church when I was young, probably fifth, sixth grade. And at a certain point, I got to, I think it was about seventh grade, and I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And does everybody remember the 80s and 90s in church, the singing Christmas trees? You guys remember that? Singing Christmas tree? Yeah? That was like the center of my year in church life. And for the singing Christmas tree, so you don't know what it is. Imagine a stage, actually about this size, same size church, and it's scaffolding that's built 20 foot tall, or however tall that is, like 5-6 layers, and it's covered in like boughs, and people stand in it and they sing at you. They sing to you. And then as a combination, so it's a big presentation the church puts on. There's about 10 of them that we did per year. Maybe 1,000 people would come over the course of 2 or 3 weeks. And as we gave the presentation, or as we sang, there was also a play that came along with the singing. And I'm 12 years old. I'm thinking, okay, it's my turn to like get involved. I'm going to do it. I'm going to serve. And so I said, you know, Pastor Doug, what's the best place for me to serve? Where do you want me to you want me to be at the top with the best view? I'd love to do that. No, Scott, you can't do that. I said, I got the perfect place for you. And so I said, okay, great. And so he leads me to the back to the wardrobe room, and he shows me this like life-size full body suit of a chipmunk. Chipmunk. I'm like, what? How does that fit with the play? It did not fit with the play. So we sing the songs, and then at the end of it, the play comes to a climax and it finishes, and they're singing the last stanza. He says, okay, guys, this is your spot. This is when you get out. And then sure enough, last chorus, out comes a chipmunk. Woohoo! And my job was to dance in a chipmunk suit. My head, like the chipmunk's head, like this big. Like you can't turn that fast. But man, I did my twirls and I did my things like this. And it's like, Sky, you got energy. You're going to be great. And man, I was like, I'm the star of the show for like, you know, 30 seconds at the end, the very end. And I learned to serve the church through being a chipmunk. Now, I tell you that story just because there's all different ways to serve in the body of Christ. And that's an interesting way. And we don't have chipmunks here anymore. I think some of you 12, 13-year-olds are thankful for that. But we have lots of different ways to serve the church. Now, my big idea this morning is that God glorifies himself when people serve in dependence upon him. God glorifies himself when people serve in dependence upon him. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. So if you want to grab your Bibles, that's what we're going to be looking at. Just these few verses, and actually one verse in particular. My goal for you today is that you would glorify God through becoming good stewards of God's grace through service in and through his local church. So let me read these verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this morning we're going to talk about three things within this verse. God calls us to community. God calls us to serve in order that God may be glorified. So the background of 1 Peter is an apostle. He was one of the first guys that Jesus called to walk alongside him. He knows Jesus. He knows the purpose of the local church. He says he's speaking to those who are exiles in the diaspora who are out there. He said, the reason I'm writing this is to you is so that you will know what to do for obedience to Jesus Christ. And then he gets all the way into chapter 4, verse 7. He says, the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. It's here. Jesus Christ's return is imminent. He's coming back soon. So in light of that, I want you to obey and do these things. Obey and do these things. And then we have the verse, above all. Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. God calls us to community. So, who is this one another in verse 8? It's the local body of believers. This is us. This is who we are. The New Testament writers consistently assume they're addressing one or multiple particular groups who meet, and the elders who shepherd the flock that's under their care, they have a flock that's under their care. There's multiple flocks here in Homer, but this is the flock that's under the elders and the leaders' care here, and so this is very targeted. God saved us to be part of a local church, and often the biblical writers use the idea of a family, and when you see being here as being part of a family, you want to love that family well. You may have had a bad experience of a family, and God wants to renew your image of what a family is. He wants to give you a new image of what it is, a redeemed image of his family. See, here at CCC, our family looks like a group of people, a group of disciples who are making disciples. And what do? We do three things. A disciple is someone who's following Jesus, being formed by Jesus, and faithful to Jesus. And we do these things together at CCC. If you're looking for a good picture of what the early church thought the community was like or what the family was supposed to be like in the church, take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. We're going to skip that for now, but I like the sentence that Makisha said as she was summarizing how she serves. She said, as long as there's food in my pantry, you'll never go hungry. That's a great picture. That's a great picture for the local church. That's what they were doing in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So we want to have some version of that here. And now we become community and healthy family by loving each other earnestly. Now, why would Peter have to say earnestly? Because of the next phrase. A multitude of sins. There's a multitude of sins. Multitude. Remember Jerry's list? Remember Jerry's list this morning? He said, multitude of sins. When we love each other well, if you're hanging around any group of people for any length of time, you're going to see we want what we want. And often those wants end up stepping on the toes of another person. All of us. It happens. And so we need this reminder. Peter knows we need this reminder. And then he says, because love covers over a multitude of sins. This idea of to cover over often and usually means to forgive. To forgive. And so here at CCC, we don't want to, when there's a sin, someone sins against you or you're sinned against, we don't want to avoid or ignore it. We want to forgive and move on. To cover over. And if you've showed up here at Christian Community Church in the last year or two, it's like, wow, this is great. I love this. This is a cool community. I want to be a part of this. I love what's going on here. This family didn't just happen. It didn't just appear. Community is made. It takes work. There's been years of development of forgiving one another here. And you're welcome to be a part of that. Come on in. Start forgiving. That's kind of how it works. That is what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And so we love the community earnestly, it says in this verse, by two ways, showing hospitality to one another without grumbling. And the second one is by serving. By serving. These are the means of God's grace that he gives us. And there's no qualifiers on this. It's not like because you're an extrovert, you're an introvert, or because you're really good, or you have a nice house, or whatever it happens to be. Not because you're really good at playing guitar, or you can speak well. That's what we do. We serve one another, and we cover over a multitude of sins by forgiving. That's what we do. So God calls us to community, and number two, he calls us to serve. So we use our gifts to serve. And this next verse is going to take the majority of the rest of the time, and we're just going to walk through it right now. Okay? This is verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I put a picture of a bunch of adventure gear up here, what you would need to have if you're going on some journey across the bay or you're going out in the middle. I know when I'm out in the woods, it's really helpful to have the right kind of tools with me, the right kind of things I need to survive. I'm really thankful. Actually, when I don't have a sleeping bag, I'm yearning for someone, my buddy, who might have an extra sleeping bag. Or if I'm out on my four-wheeler, really hoping that he's got the tool. Like, my winch doesn't work. Really hoping he's got, because I'm stuck in the mud right now, and I'm not getting out of this alone. We need other people to serve us. And we need to serve them. And we've each been given a role. And there's a point when we're going to be in the valley when we need it, as we've heard some of the things this morning. So, as we walk through the verse, the first part of this verse is, as each. There's a picture of soccer up here, because I love soccer, play soccer. Usually at the end of the night, on Sunday nights, when I play over at the Spark, man, I just want to score. So, this drive, this is internal drive. But, about an hour and a half into it, I'm just like dead tired, and so is everyone else. And we all want to score at that point, but no one wants to play defense. No one wants to. And so you try to score, and then the ball gets kicked over your head, and like, oh, there it is. We're going to lose. And someone scores because we're not playing our role, because we're tired. Whatever it happens to be, God has given each of us a part to play. No one's left out. There's no one left in the sidelines. There's no one to whom this is not speaking. If you are a believer and you have accepted Jesus Christ, if your sins have been covered by the blood of the Lamb and His Spirit lives in you, and He gives you a gift, and you're on the team. Like, well, I don't feel like I've been given a gift. I'm not just that. You know, I'm like, I know Jesus loves me, and I come to church, but I don't feel like I'm special. Well, I don't feel like I have what it takes. God doesn't always call the equipped, but He equips the called. God doesn't always call the equipped. He equips the called. Just look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. He's talking to Moses. God's like, I'm rescuing my people. They're getting out of Egypt, and someone's going to do it, and that's going to be you, Moses. That's you. You're doing it. I want you to get moving. What's he say? I don't have the words. I can't speak. I can't speak well. What's God say back to him? I'll give you the words. God doesn't always call the equipped. He equips the called. God gives every believer a gift. Next thing, each one as he has received a gift. The gift you have, it's unique to you and it's been given to you. It didn't originate with you. You didn't think it up. You didn't create it. It's not like playing guitar. It's not on the list of gifts. Just one way to exercise them. God gives every believer a gift. And there's two primary places where we see the list of the gifts in the New Testament. In the Bible. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 8 through 11. The second is Romans 12, 4 through 8. Now, we're not going to read those necessarily now, but on your handout that you got, if you've been following along, you know that there's certain places you can fill in the blanks here. So fill in the blank day. Fill in the blank day. Also, on the back, you have the list of the different gifts. There's 18, 19 around in there about that, and then places to serve later on. So you can think, well, what are my gifts? Well, there's a couple of things I'm going to say about the gifts. In verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, all these are work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes to each one just as He determines. I'm looking right here, and you guys can look around you. It's like everyone's got this little ding, one thing above their head, ding, two things above their head, the gifts that they have, and they're unique to you, and they've been given to you, and they're sitting there. And I'm wondering, are they collecting dust? Are they being used? We serve in a pretty high percentage, a very high percentage of our church serves, actually, in the church, which is pretty cool. And so, and also he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, my hands, not my ear, so in Christ, we who are many, right, in this room, all form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I'm not going to take off my hand and go throw it over there. And the hand can't say to the eye, nope, you're not looking right, because I know how to look. No, you don't. You don't know how to look. You don't have eyes. Each member belongs to all others. We all need each other. Each has received the gift. Now, next part of the verse is use it. Use it. We've been given a gift to be used. You were saved to serve. And your gift is not something that's supposed to be dormant or asleep. Like, I love, like my grandma, she used to call these things dustables, the things that sit on your shelf, the dustables. I love hand-blown glass. I think it's beautiful. In my window, it's awesome. I can never afford it, especially the big ones. Oh, so cool. Is it useful? No, no, not at all. It just sits there and collects dust, and I wipe it off every once in a while. It's pretty. So we are saved to serve. We are, another way to think about it is that we are blessed with these gifts to be a blessing. Like Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verses 2, he says, I will bless you, I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. You've been blessed to be a blessing. You were given these gifts not to serve yourself, but to be a blessing. And then the NIV, the New International Version translation of the Bible, it has within this phrase the word should. And there's that is communicating God's intent. He has a desire. He has a purpose. It's not like, well, maybe if I have the time and you're done with your work, you finish the clutch on the snow machine and you're caught up with Jack Ryan seasons. No, it's not like, oh, maybe. No, should. I want you to do this. It's a command. Go do it. Yeah? I know Jack Ryan's sitting there. Go do it. Whatever the service happens to be at the time. And then he says, I would say with that as a little caveat, there are definitely seasons of life when our serving looks different. When I was 26 years old, I was really hurting. It was not good. And so I had to take a step back. I stopped teaching and preaching. I stopped leading worship. And, you stopped doing those things, so you stopped serving, right? Well, the energy and the desire to love and glorify God was still there. It was still there. It didn't go anywhere. That's the DNA of a Christian. That I want to love God. I want to express my love for God and serving others. It just flowed in a different direction. It's like, well, it's a dam. I got to serve. It's going to, can't go on worship. It's going to go over there. And so it was directed towards prayer. It was directed towards adjusting chairs. That's what I did. Got to serve. Oh, I got to serve. It's the DNA and desire of a Christian is to serve. So, and I think another interesting thing that I'm exposed to, the position of a young mom with young kids at home, it's tough to serve in the local body of Christ. But that could be as simple. I was like, Jody, how do you do that? I said, well, it could be as simple as teaching your kids how to pick up the crayons of others. As simple as that. Serving is there. Now, when you serve here at CCC, you serve people in the building and individuals personally. On a Sunday morning, there's a mission. We have the mission of making disciples. You serve that mission directly or indirectly. Okay? Sometimes when you serve the mission indirectly, it's like you're serving the building. Or indirectly, sorry, that's indirectly. Directly, it's actually talking to someone about God or encouraging. Use your words to talk to a person about how great God is. And when it comes to serving in a building, in a place, a locale that has objects, up until I was probably 24 years old, I had this idea in my head that when I walk in and I sit down right here, I'm not costing anyone anything to be right there. Okay? I'd served in the church for 10 years, 8, 5 years, 10 years, until I got to that point, and I believe that to be true. And this was just a reminder for me as I prepared this message and I walked in here, I was praying, looking around. A lot has been done for all of us to arrive at this point. Let me just read off the list of things and areas people have served. We have a warm building to walk into. Someone took a moment to inspect the boiler, schedule the maintenance, and set the thermostat. Probably 3 different people. Someone warmed up the hot coffee, prepared the tea to welcome us. Sufficient chairs, straight rows to sit on, especially after following a wedding, had to be redone. Working light bulbs so you can see your Bible. The blinds have been lifted a few inches just to ensure there's no mold for you to breathe or your kids to breathe. Sunday school passages have been studied and outlines prepared and printed, tuned instruments, new strings on the bow, practiced chords and lyrics ahead of time that we get to hear. Every person up here has been on this stage for 3 hours before you ever see them and put in time practicing their stuff. These are all non-paid for services that we get to benefit from And they serve without recognition, so we don't get applause, but so we get treasures in heaven and we enjoy it. Hours spent wiring projectors so we can sing worship to our Creator. Prayers covering the service hours before, days before. New coloring pages, crayons the kids enjoy. Announcements, graphics, things on the website. Flyers printed out, printed for events ahead of time. Teachers prepared lessons, activities for the week for the kids. The doors unlocked multiple times during the service to keep you and your kids safe. Keep going on, right? Like literally everything I see here, someone has done to serve me. It's like, okay, that's a check. That made me think as I was preparing the service for this. And you're feeling, well, where can I serve? Those are like kind of object building kind of things, but there's plenty of places where we serve outside of here. Multiple of those were mentioned in our open mic. A meal train for those who are hurting with new babies. Life group leaders. The hour and a half our life group leaders spend cleaning up their house before you get there so you don't walk in and step on a mushy potato. Right, when you walk in between your toes, yeah. Serving. This is what we do. We serve, man. We love people. We forgive them. Even when the life group leader didn't pick up the mushed potato, you can still feel it in your toes right now as you're thinking, like, oh, that's not good. We forgive. If you're wondering, how can I serve? On the back of here, there's a list of places if you're wondering. Now, we serve one another. This clause, it has a target. 52 times in the New Testament. It doesn't mean we don't serve not yet believers, because Jesus did that through his miracles, through the parable of the Samaritan, water into wine. But it does mean that there's a distinct community of believers that you meet with on a regular basis who you call your family. God wants us to serve those as good stewards. So what's it mean to be a good steward? To be a good steward means to manage well what's been given to you. Means we're obedient in the responsibility that we've been given. May not always see the amazing fruit, but the effort's there. If you're wondering what a good steward is, take a look at Luke chapter 19, the parable of the tenants. If you're wondering what a bad steward is, look at what happens to the bad steward at the end of that parable. Not great. God wants us to serve, and he wants us to serve, and he gives us varied graces to serve by. Now, Pete, he's got an instrument here. Pete doesn't play ukulele, and he doesn't play pink ukuleles. Pete loves to serve. He's got the gift of exhortation, like he said earlier. The way you serve is going to look different based on you. Pete's a teacher, and he's an administrator, and he leads well. And he's going to want to serve. Maybe someday, if for some reason those avenues for serving are cut off, maybe we'll see him up here with his pink ukulele. But until then, we'll probably see him continue to function. If you're wondering, how am I supposed to do? Well, some examples. If one with a gift of service, here's your need and shows up to help you finish your shed or your cabin if you need it done at a certain time. Maybe someone with a gift of prophecy comes up and hears a word in their heart or their mind or a verse and tells you about it to encourage you. One with an encouragement says, hey, I'm with you on the journey. You can do it. And they give you verses to encourage you. One with the gift of generosity. Here's your need, and the next day you have a snow machine to borrow for the men's advance, or a tool to borrow for your next project. God has arranged everyone in this body, all the parts, just as he wanted them to be. Just as he wanted them to be. So when God arranges the parts in this way, and he calls us to serve, he gives us his gift. He doesn't just give the gift and then set it and forget it. No. He gives us the strength. And then this next verse, he says, whoever speaks, speaks with the words of God, speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, serves with the strength that God supplies. Those of you who serve now think, this is the mantle I've been given. So be careful what you speak. Be excited about what you speak, because you're representing Christ. You're his image bearer, Genesis 1:27. You have his spirit within you, Romans 8:11. You have his mind, 1 Corinthians 2:16. You are his ambassador in 1 Corinthians 5:20. And here's the phrase on that. As though God were making his appeal through you. As though God's making his appeal for Jesus Christ through you in the words and actions of your service in and around the body of Christ, so that other people see and say, I want some of that. or whatever Jesus is inside you, I want that. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, serves with the strength God provides. Yeah, you can have a rough morning sometimes. Right? On this stage, I know this is kind of my position right there. Sometimes I'm just battling thoughts, man. Like stuff's just jumping in my head right before I got on the stage. I'm battling him back. But it's the Lord who's giving me the energy and the strength to supply, to supplying, so I can serve and I can do it well. The cool thing about this, it makes a lot of things possible, a lot of supernatural things possible, because we know it's not us working, it's the Spirit through us doing this thing. We serve and love one another so that the church may be built up, and in the end, so that God may be glorified. And the verse says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. And here, we get to the end for which God created the world. It's the ultimate end of everything. And in serving, we get to participate in a very direct way in the end for which God created the world. This is why God does everything he does. It's like, well, what if I'm not doing that? There's a great book that challenged my opinions on, not my opinions, the way I lived, on how I was living my life. If I was really living for the glory of God and the end for which God created the world. It's called Don't Waste Your Life. It's a great book by John Piper there in the back. It'll challenge you, make you wonder. This is why God does everything he does. If you don't spend your life in pursuit of this goal, glorifying him, it will have been a wasted life. But don't see your life as designed to accomplish this end, you will likely leave your life unfulfilled. So if you're wondering, what am I supposed to do here? How am I supposed to serve? What's my supposed to be like? Well, being formed by Jesus, following him, he's my imitator. How did Jesus serve? Mark 10. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. How am I supposed to serve? In the same way that Jesus did. Now, I can have some mixed motives for sure. I love playing guitar. Definitely there's mixed motives. But there needs to be an element of Jesus giving himself through me laying down my life for the sake of the body of Christ, which is he did, and he still does, as you see in Revelation. I'm convinced that there are new ways of serving here at CCC that don't even exist yet. God's just waiting for someone to submit and surrender to him, and then some great idea comes. I mean, usually serving comes because a need is not met yet. There's a problem. In Acts chapter 6, there was a problem. The widows, they weren't getting their food. It wasn't good. And so God said, choose for me some men full of faith and wisdom. And so they chose Stephen to fix the problem. But if you look at chapter 7, this guy Stephen, he wasn't just a nobody. He was just a guy who could only straighten chairs. He gives an entire speech that summarizes the entire Old Testament in one chapter. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good speech. He knew his stuff. He knew the word. He was full of grace and power. He performed miraculous signs and wonders. And what was his job? Wait on tables. God's plan for your life will involve, in great measure, laying down pride and humbly serving the way he calls. Because it's not about us, it's about him and what he's doing. So the application today. Very practical. If you already serve, ask, why do I serve? Why do I serve? Does the form of God's grace need to take a different direction? Because maybe I'm kind of burnt out, I'm tired of this one way I'm serving, I don't see God's fruit in it. Well, it's okay, you can reevaluate, Lord. Where do you want this river to flow? How do you want me to use my gifts? That's fine. It's great. Number two, identify your gift. It's the part I skipped in the message. You probably missed that part. Identify your gift, your passion, and the need. Usually, God wants you to serve in a place where those three intersect. And number three, take the spiritual gifts test, which is on the back of here. There's somewhere. Let me pray. Father God, thank you that you give us gifts, God. You give us the desire to serve and glorify you. You give us the chance to partner with you in bringing your kingdom. Lord, we would be a part in the journey, in the end for which God created the world, is glorifying yourself. Thank you, God, for giving us the ability and the strength and the words to do that, just like you gave Abraham, just like you gave Moses, and how you've given multiple people over the history of this church the ability to serve and use their gifts so that we can all sit here in a warm building. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we finish up, Pete's going to come up and direct us toward communion.
So it's a pretty simple thing about the gospel. It's that Christ died for us, died for our sins. That's a pretty simple message to share and to understand. It's also pretty simple, the directions that he left us with, which are to love our God, love the Lord God, and love our neighbor. And what this guy is talking about is loving our neighbor. That's what service is all about. Love our neighbor as ourself. A lot of us are pretty good about serving ourselves, myself included. So we got to turn that the other direction. Love our neighbor. Serve them. One of the things that Christ was so good at doing is taking just simple things in people's lives and using them to illustrate. And he took that opportunity in that last Passover meal to take something very simple, bread that's always going to be at a table, and wine, which was just common for them to have at the table to drink, and to then use that to talk about doing something in remembrance of him, because he knew he was leaving. They weren't so sure about it. They didn't. I mean, he'd been telling them that, right? But they just didn't quite get it, what that meant. And so he took a really simple illustration. He took bread, and in Matthew we find just the illustration of him implementing communion. And he broke it, which has to have been a real common thing for somebody at the table to break the bread and either pass it on to be another chunk of it to be broken off. I doubt there was a nice bread knife at the table. Break it, pass it on. And then he said, this is my body. This represents my body that is going to be broken and that I'm doing this for you. And then he took the wine. You know, whether there was a goblet that people chased around the world or not, I don't know. But he did reference this wine, and he said, this is my blood that's shed for you. Take this in remembrance of what I do. Not what he had done, but what he was going to do, which was to die on the cross. And so every time we get together, we should be communing together. And one of those things, I grew up with it in the Christian church that I grew up with. We had communion every time we met. And different churches have different traditions on that, different ways of looking at it. But it's important for us to have that opportunity as a community to remember what Christ did for us and take the bread, remembrance of his body that was broken, take the juice in remembrance of the blood that he shed for us and for covering everything, covering the sin. So you just join me, and when you have the opportunity, when you feel led to come up and get communion, that's great. We'll do that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we can come to you, Lord, and we can worship you, Lord, because of what you have done, because of what you've done, because of what you've done, Lord, we stand here. So, Lord, we pray that the stories that came up in the open mic, Lord, that those would kind of fall to rest in our hearts and minds. Lord, the things that were said in the sermon would fall and rest on our hearts and minds. The specific things, God, that you have for us. Give us the grace and the strength to serve with the strength you supply, Lord, knowing that we are serving and speaking with your words, God, and your strength. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.